our daughter, Lauren. She is still in the hospital there in St. Louis, and it's just been a roller coaster. So I hate to say that she's doing well, but she's not doing horrible today. So we're thankful for that. We know the Lord's got it under control, and they did today kind of finally settle on a treatment plan for her, and so we'll see how that goes. We're hoping she gets to come home soon, and basically this has been very baffling to the doctors. The idea that they've settled on currently is that she is either having a reaction to all of the serious medications she had last week for the parasite, or she is having toxins released into her system from the parasite itself, and so that is affecting her. So anyway, we're just believing the Lord's going to heal completely. Amen. Praise the Lord. And he is able, and so we thank you for your prayers. We do feel the strength of that. And I want to tell you what a wonderful thing to have the family of God to pray together, to believe together in a case and situation like this. So thank you. Thank you so much. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 1. We're going to be looking again tonight at our series of lessons on the seven secrets from Solomon and looking at the book of Proverbs. We've missed a couple of weeks, but we're going to continue these lessons here tonight. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 1 says, "A wise son heareth his father's instructions, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressors shall eat violence. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction." Tonight's lesson is on keeping our mouth, keeping our mouth. Lord, help us to keep our mouth. Would you pray and ask God to speak to us? Thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for the wisdom of your word. I pray, God, that you'd minister to every life and person here tonight. Help us, challenge us, God, to keep our mouth. Help us, Lord, to speak things that would edify and encourage and glorify, God. I pray that you would guard our mouth and help us, Lord, not to speak things that would be ill and negative and depressing, God, but help us to speak things that would lift you up. We give you the praise and the glory for it tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. As I mentioned, it's been a couple of weeks, but we've been looking at some great lessons from the book of Proverbs dealing with secrets from the wisest man who ever lived. Now, as a little review tonight, our first lesson focused on having godly wisdom. And we studied how that begins with the fear of the Lord. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10 tells us, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." So that's where we must begin. That's where all of this begins. We must have a reverence and a respect for God, a respect for his presence and for his house. That's the beginning of wisdom. That's the fear of the Lord. Our second lesson looked at how friends make a difference. And like it or not, our friends do make a difference. They do affect things. They influence our thoughts, our morals, our values, our work ethic. Someone once said, "Show me your closest friends, and I'll show you your future." Solomon said it like this in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." Amen. Friends do make a difference. Friends do make a difference. We look next at the principle of being money wise, and Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, was also the wealthiest. And so when Solomon talks about wisdom and money, we probably ought to pay attention. If we can remember the principle that when it comes to money and when it comes to resources, God owns it all. God owns it all. If we can remember that, then we can build a wise financial foundation. And so I believe there's such great financial blessings in store for those who would be a faithful steward of what God has blessed us with and given us to manage. And so God's looking for people. He's looking for people who will be a willing conduit that he can funnel blessings through, that he can funnel resources through into his work here on this earth. But we've got to first remember, hey, everything I have, it came from the Lord. Everything, it belongs to God. Amen. Our last lesson a few weeks ago, it looked at having success at work. If you remember, we talked about how you are going to spend an estimated 120,000 to 150,000 hours of our life working. That's a lot of hours. That's a lot of time. 40% of our waking hours will be spent working. So since work is a major, major part of our life, don't think that your work is not important to God, because you're important to him. And this is a major part of the hours that we live, and so it is important to God, our work. Whether we work in a factory or a retail store, or if we work for a city or public work, or maybe we work for ourselves, but if we will work heartily and do it as unto the Lord and not as unto men, then our work will have a great blessing upon it. So I made the statement in that lesson that apostolics ought to be the best. They ought to be at the head of the list when it comes to hiring. We ought to be the best workers that there are. We ought to have the best work ethic, and we should be the most honest and trustworthy, and we should have the most faithful and dependable character. We should be the best workers that there are. And if we learn to make the Lord a partner in our work financially, then we're standing on the promises of God when it comes to the financial blessings of our work. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9, it tells us, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. So there's a promise there, but there's also a premise. We honor the Lord with the first fruits, and he will bless our work. He will bless our business. He will bless our life. Amen, amen. One more scripture in review, Proverbs 22 and 29. It says, seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. So if we can be diligent in our business, in our work, then we shall excel. We will be given influence. We shall be elevated, and we must be a diligent worker. Okay, moving on to our lesson tonight, we're going to look at keeping our mouth, keeping our mouth. I'm not sure how many of you realize this, but we like to talk. Human beings like to talk, some more than others, but we like to talk. We spend a lot of time talking. Did you know that the average man speaks enough words in 1 year to fill 66 books that are 800 pages long? The average man speaks enough words in a year to fill 66 books that are 800 pages long. Now, the average woman speaks a little more. The average man speaks about 20,000 words in a day. The average woman speaks about 30,000 words in a day. Have you ever, let me ask this, have you ever been around someone that for whatever reason they hadn't got all their words in that day, and so they took advantage of you being there so that they could get all their words out, and so you were a blessing to them? Well, the fact is, human beings like to talk. Think about it. There's talk shows on the radio. There's talk shows on television. There's talk shows about news and about sports and about politics and about health. And there's podcasts now for those that even need more talk. And we have cell phones so that we can talk wherever we are. We're constantly connected and able to talk. It's estimated tonight that there's 400,000 churches in the United States. So if every one of them has a midweek service, that means that tonight there are 400,000 pastors speaking an estimated total of over 1 billion words. That's a lot of speaking. It's a lot of words. Amen. We as human beings like to talk. I pray that we don't take talking instead of doing, but there needs to be a little doing as well. We read tonight in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 3, it says, "He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction." Some other translations of that verse say it like this: "He who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction." Or, "Those who control their tongue will have a long life, but opening your mouth can ruin everything." That's the truth. That's the truth. Having self-control, it has a lot to do with just learning to control our tongue. We read in James chapter 3, verse 5, it says, "Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth." Just a small thing, the tongue. Just a small member of the body, but oh, what trouble. Oh, what trouble it can get us in. And so Solomon realized this. There's so much in the book of Proverbs that deals with our mouth and the words that we speak and how we speak. There's at least 120 verses in Proverbs about things that are related to our speech. Now, we're not going to be able to cover all 120 verses, but we are going to cover three themes, three principles that can be found in the book of Proverbs related to keeping our mouth, keeping our mouth. So here's the first principle. This is so profound, folks. You've never heard something. This is just going to astonish you, and it's going to be earth-shattering. So here it is. The first principle: think before we speak. Think before we speak. Amen. Actually, that's pretty basic. But why do we have such a hard time doing it? Every single one of us, maybe some more than others, have had that moment. It's like all of a sudden life goes into slow motion. And we have that realization that the words are, they're coming out of our mouth, but we didn't think it through before we started talking. And it's like we know what's happening, and we just, but we're powerless to stop it, and those words are coming out, and but once they're out, there's no way to get them back in. And we've all been there, right? And we'll probably be there once again if we live long enough. But we've got to do our best to think before we speak. Proverbs 16:23, it says, "The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth, and addeth learning to his lips." So in other words, wise people learn to think before they speak. They teach their mouth. They keep their mouth. One translation says it like this: "From a wise mind comes wise speech. The words of the wise are persuasive." And so we've got to get our mind in gear before we engage our tongue. We need to think before we speak. A wonderful little saying about this, it says it like this: "A wise old owl sat in an oak, and the more he saw, the less he spoke. The less he spoke, the more he heard." Let's try to be more like that bird. Just remember that one. They ought to teach that in school. I don't know if they do, but we need to learn to think before we speak. Words are powerful. Words are powerful. People have died for saying the wrong things. Wars have been started because of someone's mouth. The tongue is very good at setting off a chain reaction, and we have to live with the consequences of the things that we say. Better to learn to think it through before we let our mouth get us in trouble. Proverbs 18:21, it tells us, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Don't overlook the power of your mouth tonight. Such a seemingly small thing, but it has such a large, big effect upon our life, and such a small thing, but such a powerful force. I read recently a story of a man who had filed a police report about another man who they had gotten a fight together, and this other man had beat him up, and so the police were interviewing him, and he said, "Can you describe this man? Can you tell us about this man? Can you describe him to us?" And the man said, "Of course I can. In fact, that's what I was doing to him when he decided to hit me. I was describing what I thought about him. Our words can get us in trouble." Folks, none of us are exempt from this. Just the other day, there was something. I don't know that I was having a bad day, but all of a sudden, something came out before I thought. And every single one of us have to pray and say, "God, help us. Help us to think before we speak." Proverbs 20:25 tells us, "It is a snare to the man who devoureth that which is holy, and after vows to make inquiry." So we have to realize Proverbs, not only is Proverbs in the King James English, but it was written, translated, you know, several times from thousands of years ago. So in other words, in this verse, Solomon's saying, we don't need to trap ourselves by making some kind of hurried promise, some kind of rash promise with our mouth, and then only count the cost of that promise later on. We choose the commitment we make very carefully. We need to count the cost. So think before we speak. Amen. We get ourselves caught in a trap when we promise things and agree to something when we really haven't thought it through. We agreed to it with our mouth, but our mind really didn't think it through. Talk is not cheap. It can cost us a lot. Amen. Let me ask us here tonight, does anybody know what the 7 most expensive words in the English language are? Talk is not cheap, okay? So here's the 7 most expensive words in the English language. "I now pronounce you husband and wife." That's, talk is not cheap, folks. Think about it. These young kids, they get infatuated with one another, and this young couple, they're so in love, and they're blinded by their affection towards one another, and they don't have any money, and they may not have a job, but they're living on love. And a lot of us were there, weren't we? And so they say, "I do, for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, in sickness and in health." They say, "I do." Talk is not cheap. It's a whole lot easier to get ourselves in than it is to get ourselves out. Our mouth can write a whole lot of checks that are hard to cash. It's easier to agree to debt than it is to get out of debt. It's a whole lot easier to agree to put things on our schedule than it is to get things out of our schedule. Have you ever said yes to a salesperson, and then almost as the words were coming out of your mouth, you regretted it? Have you ever made a promise to your kids, and they just would not forget what you had promised them, and they wouldn't let you forget it? Have you ever accepted an invitation and said, "Oh yeah, I'll be there," and later regretted it? It's always easier for our mouth to get us in than it is to get us out. It's a trap to make promises with our mouth when we haven't counted the cost. We need to think before we speak. So this is a hard lesson to learn, but learn it we must. What we say has consequences. What we say has the power of death and life. What we say can make us happy or sad. It can make us rich or poor. It can make friends or it can make enemies. What we say can get us hired or fired. We need to think before we speak. Now, I don't think Solomon said this, but I think it was actually Mark Twain. He said, it's better to keep your mouth closed and let people think you're a fool than to open it and remove all doubt. But Solomon said it like this in Proverbs 17:28. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. God help us to think before we speak. Okay, our second principle tonight when it comes to keeping our mouth is this. Always speak the truth. Always speak the truth. Proverbs 19:1 says, better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. What he's saying is it's better to be poor and to be honest than to be dishonest and a fool. And so I think we'd all agree tonight that honesty is the best policy. We should tell the truth. We believe all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. We believe that. But let's go a little further than that tonight. What about when we hold back a little of the truth because we're afraid of what will happen if we truly speak the truth? Okay, let me help us envision this right now, okay? All of you husbands, think about this with me. Let's imagine, oh, Bishop, if I get in trouble, you come help me. Let's imagine it's about 10:55 on Sunday morning. And, you know, we've got about 15 minutes. We got to get to church. We got to get there for prayer time. And the kids are running around. And this, of course, this hasn't happened to me or any of you. Kids are running around, and you spill coffee on you. And it's time to head to the car. We got to get going. And in walks your wife, and she says, honey, how does this look? Just an innocent little question, but tread carefully, okay? What do you say? Now, husbands, there's many of you that are wiser than me, and I'm going to let you figure that one out. It's kind of an extreme example, but what do you say? You know, hopefully you tell the truth, but hopefully you like what it is, and if you don't, what are you supposed to do? You know, it's time to go to church, and I'm going to let you guys figure that out, okay? I don't have the answer for that, but there are some situations in life. It might be on the job. It might be with a coworker. It might be with your boss. It might be a dear friend. It could be a loved one. That sometimes we question about, do I really need to speak the truth? Because we're afraid that if we tell that person the truth, they're going to get mad at us, or they're going to not be our friend anymore, or they may fire us, or they may blow up at us. Solomon said that someone who holds back the truth causes trouble. Someone who holds back the truth causes trouble. We don't like confrontation. Normal people don't like confrontation. We'd rather do anything than have to go against conflict. And so we want peace. We don't want to rock the boat. We want to find another way. And in a relationship, it could be a friendship, it could be a spouse, someone on the job. All of us, we like to avoid conflict and avoid confrontation because we don't want to shake things up. But we need to learn to allow God to help us be honest. And I believe that true relationships will grow stronger on the foundation of truth. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 23, it says, he that rebuketh a man afterwards shall find more favor than he that flattereth with the tongue. People don't like flattery. Now, maybe every once in a while, okay, but they want to really know what you think for the most part. They want you to be honest at least. Dishonesty destroys relationships. Bitterness can set in. Hurt feelings can build up. Trust erodes. The relationship suffers. God forbid that we sit idle and let relationships die just because we won't face the facts. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 26. Every man shall kiss his lips that giveth the right answer. Now, I want to go on the meaning of this a little closer. What it is saying is that the right answer, or an honest answer, is like the kiss of friendship. Now, our culture is a little different than it was back in the day, okay? But what Solomon was saying here is an honest answer is a sign of true friendship. We don't lie to people that we love. We level with them. We bring them in to our confidence. We're honest with them. Sometimes we have to stop being a coward, and we have to tell that person, you know, this hurts me to say it, and I know it hurts you to hear it, but we've got to deal with this. I want to be truthful with you. So truth brings intimacy. When it's handled in the right way, truth brings trust. Amen. We don't want to play around with being truthful, to say one thing and then really mean another. And you know, some people, they hint around. They never say what they really mean, and they make suggestions, but they never come out and say what's going on. Folks, we can't expect people to read our minds. We need to stop. We don't need to be a coward. When there's an issue, we've got to be willing to face it head on and speak the truth. Now, maybe not when your husband has just had a flat tire, or your wife's having a bad hair day. That might not be the time to just have a conversation, but be mindful of the time and learn to speak the truth. While we're on this tonight, did you know that there's rules for fighting fair? There's rules in a relationship for fighting fair. Now, maybe, you know, maybe nobody needs these, but maybe there's somebody. And so apparently it's good for couples to have a little discussion every once in a while and be truthful. And so if this could help somebody here tonight, I just want to give you some rules for fighting fair. Number one, pick and choose your battles. Pick and choose your battles. Not everything's worth dying over. Number two, find a neutral spot. Number three, take turns talking and listening. Number four, discuss one issue at a time. Number five, don't throw in the kitchen sink. In other words, don't stockpile all the issues and let it build up and then just wham, just throw it all in. Express your feeling with words. No degrading language. No yelling. Take a time out if things get too heated. And then finally, attempt to come to a compromise or some sort of understanding. So if you need those, I hope that's a blessing to you. If you need more discussion, we do pastoral care from time to time, but we're not professional counselors. So we will help you look at some things from a biblical standpoint. But, you know, at times there are some people that they need the help of a professional counselor. And so try to find one that's biblical based. But we've got to learn to speak the truth. Think about our world today. It's so twisted. It's so messed up, and people are scared to speak the truth. We've got to be so politically correct in everything we say. Don't ever call someone out. Don't ever tell someone that they're making a mistake. You know, you got to just be easy and smooth it all over, and that's what our generation is. But how many people are being hurt because nobody's able to speak the truth to them? How can we grow unless someone is willing to be honest with us about our shortcomings? How can the relationship go to the next level when there's not a willingness to face the issues? How can we become better on the job unless we can learn from our mistakes? How can kids grow up into successful adults unless there's some honest dealings with the facts in their life? We all should be so blessed to have a friend that can speak the truth to us when we need it most. Praise the Lord. So we don't just speak everything that comes to our mind, but we're supposed to think before we speak. And then we're to always speak the truth. And thirdly, today it goes along with that, Always speak the truth in love. Always speak the truth in love. That's the difference. We've got to get that. Okay? It's not just speaking the truth, but speak the truth in love. We don't use the truth as a club. We don't use it as a weapon to intentionally hurt someone. I love how it's said in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18. It says, "There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health." So we have a choice. We can speak our words like a sword. We can cut people that speak words that wound and words that damage, or we can be wise with our mouth and wise with our tongue and speak in a way that brings healing and health to a situation. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's not true. That's not true. We've all been hurt by words. And it's usually those closest to us that we hurt the most when we say thoughtless things. Amen. We can wound people with our words, wounds that maybe never heal. We don't need to just say what we feel, but we do it with love. We do it with wisdom. We choose to speak life. We speak the truth in love. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 4 says, "A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit." So a tongue that heals, a wholesome tongue, it brings life. But perverseness in it breaks the spirit. Another translation says, "Gentle words are a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit." Speak the truth in love. Proverbs 12:25, it says, "Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad." There's sometimes people need a good word. There's sometimes that, you know, they've heard negative all day long, and they've heard cursing, and they've heard bitter words, and hate, and trouble, and strife all day long, and they just need a good word. They need a word of encouragement. They need an uplifting word. They need a good word to make the heart glad. And sometimes we don't fully realize the impact that we can have on someone if we can just learn to be an encourager with our words. Learn to lift up. Learn to be a blessing with our words. Build them up. Don't tear them down. They have enough of that from the world, but be kind and speak a good word. Speak the truth, but speak it in love. Proverbs 25 and 11 tells us, "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver." What a beautiful verse. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. There's a Christian song sung today, written by a guy named Toby Mack. It's called "Speak Life." Some of you've heard it. Some of you never even heard of Toby, and that's all right. Let me share some of the lyrics tonight. It says, "Some days life feels perfect. Other days, it just ain't working. The good, the bad, the right, the wrong, and everything in between. Though it's crazy, amazing, we can turn a heart with the words we say. Mountains crumble with every syllable. Hope can live or die. So speak life to the deadest, darkest night. Speak life when the sun won't shine and you don't know why. Look into the eyes of the brokenhearted. Watch them come alive as soon as you speak hope, you speak love, you speak life." We're talking tonight about keeping our mouth, but really it's an issue of keeping our heart. Matthew chapter 12, verse 34 through 37. Jesus said, "O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. What's in our heart? What's in our heart? Because it will come out of our mouth. We've all been there. We've all been in that conversation, and maybe we were stressed, or maybe we weren't having the best day, and we were dealing with something unpleasant, but all of a sudden, something comes out of our mouth that maybe we wouldn't ordinarily say. And it surprises us, and it catches us off guard, and it's not something that we'd normally speak, but out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. God, help us to get at the heart of the matter, to examine our heart. Jeremiah 17 and 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Even if we don't know what's in our heart, if there's evidence of something that's not right in our words, we need to ask God, Lord, search my heart. Search this heart. This heart is deceitful. It's desperately wicked, but Lord, search my heart. Try me, God. Reveal it to me so that I can deal with whatever it is, because I want to be able to keep my mouth, and that means keeping my heart. Praise the Lord. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus called the Pharisees out. He said they were trying to honor God with their lips when their heart was far from him. His disciples came up to him and said, Lord, did you know that you just offended all those Pharisees? And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15, verse 16, he said, are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. Keeping our mouth is an issue of keeping our heart. I believe today if we're struggling in keeping our mouth, maybe we're struggling about speaking negative and depressive things that are full of doubt, or maybe it's hatred, or maybe it's hurtful things or condemning things. Possibly someone's struggling with cursing or bad language. Keeping our mouth is an issue of keeping our heart. Problems with our mouth are just symptoms of what's coming from our heart. Would you stand with me tonight? God, help us to keep our mouth. Lord, keep our heart. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. I tell you tonight, we need a new heart. We need a heart transplant. God, take away this old heart. Take away this heart of stone. Take away this heart of sin. Take away this heart of doubt and fear and unbelief. Take away this wicked heart and give me a new heart. David said in Psalm 51 and 10, he said, create within me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. What better prayer can you pray than that? Lord, create within me a clean heart, oh God. Search this heart. Lord, you know what's in my heart. It's deceptive, God. It's deceitful. It's wicked, Lord. But I pray that you would create within me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. If we're going to keep our mouth, if we're going to think before we speak, if we're going to always speak the truth and always speak the truth in love, then we need to ask God tonight, Lord, create within me a clean heart. Create within me a clean heart. Renew that right spirit within me. I don't want to try to just deal with the symptoms, but let me get to the heart of the matter. God, heal our heart. Lord, renew our heart. God, give us a new heart. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Keeping the mouth is an issue of keeping the heart. Words are so powerful. I can remember words spoken to me years ago. And whoever spoke them, they might not have realized what they were saying. But they cut. And on the other hand, all of you parents have probably had a moment like this. I can think of some words that I spoke out of frustration, out of anger. And if I could go and take those words back. Because words have an impact. And our heart affects our words. In closing tonight, I wonder if we could just let the Lord begin to move and minister to our hearts. Because we want the words that we speak to glorify Him. I mentioned that it wasn't too long ago, all of a sudden one day I said something and I realized something's not right. Because for me to say that, there's something in my heart, Lord. I need to go back to repentance. I need to go back to the altar and say, God, search me. There's some attitude that's not right. There's something that's, maybe there's some bitterness there. There's some kind of hurt that's there because it's affecting the words that are coming out of my mouth. Would you pray with me right now and just like David, say, God, create within me a clean heart. Lord, renew a right spirit within me. I pray, God, that you'd help us. Lord, we want to keep our mouth. We want to speak things that glorify you. We want to speak things that are encouraging, Lord. I pray that you'd help us, even in the midst of frustration and weariness at times, God, help us to keep our mouth so that we would never speak things that are hurtful and tearing people down and words that cut and words that wound. But Lord, help us to speak life. Help us to speak hope. Help us, Lord, to speak the things of truth and the things of holiness and righteousness. I pray, God, that you would deal with our heart today. Lord, search my heart. I pray that you'd reveal to me the things in my heart, Lord, that are not pure. You know every attitude, Lord. You know every purpose within me. You see every motivation. I pray, God, that you'd reveal it to me right now. Search my heart, oh God. Search my heart, oh God. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, as we keep the mouth. I pray that you would keep our hearts. I pray that you would minister to every heart. I pray that you let there be healing in hearts tonight. I pray that you would minister, God. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Glory to God, glory to God. Lord, I pray that you would give us wisdom. I pray, Lord, that you would give us wisdom and understanding. I pray that you'd reveal to us, Lord, if there's something in our heart that's not right, I pray that you would speak to us. Maybe a little bit of bitterness that's there. Maybe some unforgiveness, God. I pray that you would bring that to our remembrance. Help us, Lord, to deal with that, to put it on the altar so that you can heal our heart and by doing so, heal our words so that we can keep our mouth tonight in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God, I pray that you'd help us to learn these secrets from Solomon tonight. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. In closing tonight, we are going to baptize Sister Linda. We're excited about that. If they'll go ahead and get ready. I wonder if there'd be some that you just gather with us around the altar here right now as the family of God. And we can just thank the Lord for his word and ask that God would help us and minister to us. I wonder if you just come and let's just pray and worship God together for a few moments and believe that God's going to help us.